This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. A very warm welcome from London in the UK, where tourists were lining up today to get a glimpse of the supermoon, if you've been doing the same thing. Well, here is today's news in electric cars and sustainable transport. My name is Martin Lee, and this is your EV News Daily for Wednesday, the 1st of February, 2018. And we'll start with the big news about the Jaguar I-Pace being reviewed by actual motor journalists being allowed to drive it. A game changer was the headline in one of the big mainstream newspapers here in the UK. The Sun, their motoring correspondent, actually got to drive it. Not on normal roads, they were taken to Sweden for this, so on ice and snow, but it was enough to give the motoring journalists a bit of a steer on what this new EV from Jaguar is going to be like. They say it's the car that will convince you to go electric, because it'll have a 300-mile range, according to The Sun, and a 0-62-mile-an-hour dash in 4 seconds. That's quicker than most people need a car. The Sun says the price is estimated to be £60,000. The two electric motors produce a total of 294 kilowatts. The motors are exactly the same, by the way. You know that with the Tesla dual motor cars, the one in the front is slightly smaller. Jaguar said that all of the tech has been designed in-house. And because they've had total control over it, they've managed to get a 50-50 weight distribution, they say, with their 90 kilowatt hour battery perfectly spaced out. That was the Sun's reports on it. The reviews continued this morning, popping up on the blogs like autoexpress.co.uk point out that it's the 1st of March then when we'll get to see the global debut at the Geneva Motor Show, when we'll get to see the car in full, because we still don't get a glimpse of the dashboard and what's inside. They do add to the reviews that the full recharge time, because not many people were talking about a full recharge, 2 hours. I think Jaguar Land Rover were more keen to emphasise the 0-80% time of 45 minutes. Saying that most people will want to get to 80% and then continue their journey. The lithium-ion batteries have been developed in-house using pouch cells for energy density and efficiency. So nothing that you'd find inside a laptop battery here. That's not to diss Tesla, by the way, because clearly what they do with 18650s works very well for the Model S and the X. They say the wheelbase was decided by the number and size of the batteries first. They started with how big is the 90 kilowatt hour battery going to be, then where can we put the wheel? And where are the axles going to go? There's a large boot space, a trunk in the back for our American listeners to the podcast, and 28 litres of front boot space, or frunk space. The front bonnet lifts up to reveal plenty of space in the front with no combustion engine to take up the room. Inside, not that we've seen the inside yet, but Auto Express reckon there's going to be a 12-inch HD screen to display instruments, another 12-inch touch screen on a floating centre console, then a smaller 5.5-inch touchscreen below for even more controls. Moving on to pocketlint.com, and they point out that smartphone users will be able to use the new Jaguar app, an accompanying app with the I-Pace for you to pre-warm the battery, as is common with EVs. They also point out in this review it's a very roomy experience for particularly those in the front and the back as well. The rear passengers will notice a huge increase in space. The distinctive Jaguar front grille is there, but otherwise it's a pretty stubby front end, because why make it any bigger? Just the crash structure is needed. They also point out in this review about the charging time. It's a DC 100 kilowatt charger, which some people say is standard these days because it matches the new Nissan Leaf. Some people disappointed by that, wanting 150 kilowatt charging. Not that you can go anywhere in the UK at the moment and plug in a 100 kilowatt charger unless you've got a Tesla. So that wraps up our look at the Jaguar I-Pace. We'll see more at the Geneva Motor Show. It's going to be an expensive car, but boy oh boy, is it going to be on so many people's wish list. Well, Mercedes have got serious. They always were pretty serious about their EVs, but now we know more about Mercedes-Benz plans for their EV investment. €11 billion, or $13.6 billion, they're going to invest into building EVs. That totals 6 factories on 3 different continents and a global battery production network. And they're keen to point out it's battery production they're doing, not cell production. So they'll be buying them in from somewhere and assembling them. 5 battery factories will be on 3 different continents. Moving on to VW then, as we've mentioned, they were starting to recover from the Dieselgate scandal that rocked their reputation. Then in the last week, we've had the news about their emissions tests on animals and humans. Once again, the company has come out and said, hands up, we got it wrong. Well, one of the outcomes of Dieselgate in the USA that had some different laws in place to the EU where they could punish VW slightly harder rather than just making them rectify the cars. Of course, there was the big financial settlement, but part of that was Electrify America. Now, Electrify America is the organisation set up by VW to invest $2 billion over the next 10 years into zero emission vehicle infrastructure. They've now put a little bit more detail into this. It's going to be 2,800 level 2 chargers in 17 of America's largest metropolitan areas by 2019 in the next 2 years. 2,000 level 3 chargers are going to be installed in 39 states. Those are the kind of chargers that can get your battery to 80% in 30 minutes or 45 minutes. CHAdeMO, they say, is going to be the baseline in the USA. That's going to charge at around 62 kilowatts. Also including some CCS chargers in there as well, ranging from 80 kilowatts up to, eventually, they're going to be investing in infrastructure up to 350 kilowatts at some locations, although, of course, no cars yet that can take advantage of that. And if you do have a car and you live in a city, where do you park it if you've only got on-street parking? Now, as I mentioned, I work in London. Parking is less than ideal in central London, but there is some on-street parking. And so the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, oh, it's very posh there, are doing something about lowering their emissions and helping EV owners add some charge to their cars. 57 lamppost charging posts are being installed in total across the borough. It's an ingenious idea. The lampposts have electrical installation anyway because they're providing electricity to the lights. OVO Energy are the people doing this, along with Simple Sockets. Now, what they do is provide a cable, and in the middle of that cable, a meter, if you like. So you plug one end into the newly adapted lamppost, other end into your EV, and then you get billed according to the energy that you use to charge your car on the street. And finally, digitaltrends.com caught up with BMW, one of the senior figures at BMW, Stefan Juracek, who is their head of electric powertrains, and sat down with a conversation with him, and we've been through the interview and picked out a few nuggets you might be interested in. One of the quotes that he says is this: "We sent several hundred BMW i3 owners a survey last year. 90% of them told us they're never going back to a car with an internal combustion engine. On the hybrid side, they have about 60% of people who would always stay with a hybrid, and about 30% of people who said that they want to make the switch permanently to a pure electric vehicle." He goes on to say, "I think the range that we propose to achieve in 2021, which is 310 miles, is going to be easy to achieve." Well, we were talking earlier on the podcast about the Jaguar I-Pace getting to 300 miles by 2021. Yeah, that's going to be no problem for BMW. They're being a bit maybe overcautious with that. And we can't finish without a little mention for hydrogen from this interview with BMW. They say, "Our estimation is the entry point would at least be a bigger car like the X5. It makes sense on tracks, racetracks, and stationary applications. Hydrogen does not make sense for normal cars." Well, thank you for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed it. We would love to spread the word about electric cars, so please do share this with at least one person who might be interested. And just a reminder, you can listen to all of the previous podcasts on iTunes now. Whilst you're there, why not subscribe for free, and then you get them automatically. It would mean a lot as well if you could take just 2 minutes to leave a quick review on iTunes. A quick mention to Nick. Nick Parkinson dropped us a note yesterday after yesterday's podcast to say that he really enjoyed it. Nick runs Parkinson Automotive Consulting, and we connected on Twitter at @NickP_analytics if you want to go follow him and check him out. Thank you, Nick, for the kind words, and I'm glad to hear that you are enjoying the podcast. You can come and say hi on Twitter to myself. We are @EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you tomorrow.